gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hey, everybody, we just flew in from vacation on a ghost plane. The green beer's on me. Okay. Hey, too much green for Thanksgiving?
Yeah, a little bit.
St. Patrick's Day, too much?
Thanksgiving?
That's because I'm drunk. I don't even know what holiday. At least I dressed appropriately in green. Could be Thanksgiving.
I think you're the only one in this entire place that
that's
is dressed
why
in
I over-greened.
Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Happy St. Patrick's
Day. So I decided not to wear green and just get drunk instead.
Okay,
so
good idea. That's nicely
it.
Done.
That's
nicely
my plan.
Nicely done, sir.
Well played.
Done. Good to see you. I missed you on vacation.
Really?
I did. Oh, my God. Hang on. Let me just wipe the Fugelsangian hairs off of my microphone. John Fugelsang did an amazing job. I listened. There's so much hair. It's worse than my... I need a lint roller now for the Fugelsangian hair that is everywhere.
That's a lot of hair.
Exactly. All right. Nicely done. And all our friends, Jackie Schechner, Rick Overton helped out. Greg Proops, hilarious. What the... Yeah, by the way, Julie in Seattle said, don't think it went unnoticed by me or anyone else among your fans that every time you go on vacation, you cause another air disaster.
Yeah.
And this one.
This one's a doozy.
I checked my pilot yesterday. I was getting on the plane. I'm like, how you doing? Are you depressed? You're not depressed,
any,
right?
Yeah.
What's going
any
on?
Issues?
Any issues? Marital stuff going on? Drinking? Anything? Can I smell your breath?
Do you anything
have,
I can do?
Do you have a flight simulator in your house?
And who doesn't?
I wish I had one.
I know. Jim's a plane geek, and he doesn't have one. I'm like, I know. And then someone's like, oh, no, it's a pilot thing. A lot of them have that. I was like, really?
Yeah, sure. You got to keep your
really
your mojo.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just
your
checking.
Your skills.
I'm
tight.
Seriously, every flight I get on now, I'm going to get it right up in their face. And it's going to be like, hi.
Let me
just
see your
checking,
eyes.
Just checking for crazy eyes.
Let me see your eyes.
Hey.
Take off the sunglasses.
Hey.
I can't see your pupils.
How you feeling? Huh? Turn that frown upside down. Wow.
Or we could fly to Kuala Lumpur.
Okay, I was just going to say, and what are also the chances that a story custom-made for Tom Brokaw breaks while we're on vacation in the Malaysia Airlines?
Malaysia Airlines.
Over Kuala Lumpur.
Over Kuala Lumpur.
Right. This is how we were saying this morning.
Thank God it's not an L-1011.
When you've been working with Jim Ward long enough, I start giggling at news stories.
Yeah.
I started giggling. It's a tragic story, but I was like, Malaysia and Kuala Lumpur. If Mary Kay Letourneau were on the flight, come on.
Mary Kay Letourneau and her lover.
Right. Lily.
Oh, to Kuala Lumpur.
Ironically, we're on the Kuala Lumpur Malaysia Airlines flight. What the hell? This is the weirdest.
Of course, it's also than Kuala.
Excuse me?
Koala Airlines.
Pardon me. Yeah, I couldn't. I was just transfixed. I try to tune news out when I'm on vacation, and I was just, this was the way. And I love that, journalists, they have to, when the story starts, be like, well, there's no signs of foul play yet. It's, really? You think? No? You don't think this seems a little off?
Turned off the
transponder. Yeah.
Well, we know that now, but the first couple of days, we didn't know what happened.
Right.
And so it could have
still. Well, because it happens so often that
it could have crashed.
777 just goes missing. Right.
It's a big plane. It's kind of hard to lose.
Well,
right.
They were searching in a 4-hour radius, but then they said, oh, well, it could have flown 7 hours.
Right.
So that expanded it exponentially.
Right.
Exponentially.
And 7 hours means they could have gone to Kazakhstan.
Right.
Nothing.
Right. So then there was speculation.
No,
could you steal
Kazakhstan.
A plane that big? Could terrorists steal a plane?
And kidnap all the passengers.
Right. And then how do you hide it? When you steal something, do you just paint over the Malaysia Airlines and crudely? No, this was not the Malaysia Airlines plane. This is the.
This
whatever.
Is not the plane you're looking for.
This is Kazakhstan Airlines.
It just crudely, just it looks tagged on the outside. What? This plane is not stolen. Falls out of the back of the truck, although it would have to be a really big truck. Just saying. But, this story, I know, it was just day by day. So they obviously, it's deliberate. But the thing that I was
obviously, you know, I'm over it.
Right.
Thanks.
Thanks. And Malaysian officials, not really, you know.
Well, Malaysian officials, not very helpful because they're a secretive government,
right.
If you will. And
how do you not know have giant planes in your
airspace. Don't tell anybody we're a secretive government.
Well, they're also a proud government. And
don't
so they,
tell anyone they're a secretive government. What's wrong with you?
And they're a proud government, so they don't think they need any help.
They don't need any help.
And so they didn't ask for any help until it was pretty
much... Please don't tell anybody Malaysia is a secretive government. What's wrong with you?
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, but, I mean, obviously it was deliberate act, but I wondered, the first thing that came out with the stolen passports, and
yeah,
so you go, is it was it people on the plane with the stolen passports, but that doesn't seem to...
Yeah, they've kind of backed off of that.
Yeah, I mean, it obviously had to be pilots, whoever, whether it was these pilots or
that's
not.
That's what they're leaning towards.
By the way, how come all, whenever this happens, the pilots' friends and family, they're always the greatest guys ever. They love to cook, they're good with kids. There's nothing more to see here.
Nothing wrong ever happened. That's
right.
All been
right.
Yeah.
Unicorns and rainbows.
Yes, it's all farting unicorns, farting glitter
across the sky.
Right.
Or not.
I found glitter in the ocean near Kuala Lumpur.
Certainly, it's not. Although we've been on vacation, so there has been tragedy plus time. Because I was going to say, it's not really a funny story. I'm just saying it's the oddest story that you don't know.
We don't even know what the story is yet.
Right, exactly. But it was deliberate, obviously. And that's the thing. Of course, then they started talking about the other two cases of what they thought was pilot suicide. And is it pilot suicide or is it, you know, and if it's terrorism, normally someone claims responsibility by now.
Yeah. Well, that's what I think. Remember when Egypt Air went down off the coast of Long Island?
Right.
And he was shouting Allah Akbar as he
was
pointing the plane
into the
ocean.
What does that mean, Chris? Is that suspect in some way?
Yeah, pilot suicide. So it's happened before.
Maybe the shirt sleeve got stuck on the throttle and he was asking for help. Maybe it was accidental.
From Allah.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
No.
All right.
No.
Listen, I'm just spitballing here.
Spitball over Kuala Lumpur.
Malaysia
Airlines
incident. A signaling system was disabled to the missing Malaysian Airlines jet before a pilot spoke to Malaysian air traffic control without him hinting at any trouble. He just said goodnight or whatever.
Yep.
Nothing more to see here. Good night.
Everything's fine.
That was the co-pilot that said that.
Right. And then the other thing, they were talking about how erratic the flight pattern is, right, mm-hmm. that it turned and clearly seemed designed to deliberately avoid radar and detection or whatever. Mm-hmm. But then they were saying they went way up. Like mm-hmm. way, you know, much higher than they're approved for.
Hmm.
But the one thing I read about that is they said it might have been to depressurize the cabin to make everybody on board unconscious so they couldn't text.
Oh, interesting.
That was one theory I heard, and I thought,
wow, they put some thought into that.
Well, the one thing I thought about that though is thank God if that's true. Thank God, at least, that they're unconscious.
Yeah.
Can you imagine being on this plane?
But
I mean, it's
when the plane depressurizes, the oxygen masks drop automatically.
Unless they countermand that from the cockpit. There's probably a way of...
Right. That's what I mean.
Keeping that from happening.
Yeah, exactly. Police had searched, as you were saying, the Kuala Lumpur domicile, Jim, of the flight's captain. I'm not even going to...
Leonard...
Billy Fall.
No. Zahari Ahmed Shah and his junior co-pilot or first officer, Farik Abdul Hamid. Mm-hmm. All right, that wasn't so bad.
No.
The police did take the flight simulator that he has in his house that he kept at home.
Was he simulating flying to Kuala Lumpur?
Now, is this like one of those little computer flight simulators, or is it like a full-size?
It's probably not a full-size thing, but probably does have like a chair and throttles. And,
that
you know,
get into and see a movie on the screen? And
maybe. I don't know.
That's
I haven't seen a picture of it. But
a very large piece of equipment.
That is a pilot geek, seriously. Yeah. Hey, guys, want to come?
Hey, I'm flying a plane. Will you do that anyway?
Why do you want to do that? That's
a hobby?
You
do this in your time off?
That's
your job.
The last thing I want to do is play radio when I'm at home.
I was just going to say, now that I have the home studio, that'd be like
no,
my party.
Pushing buttons.
I was down here pretending to do a radio show. What are you doing? Come on, pretend to do a radio show. Look, I have my...
It's the radio simulator.
Look, here, sit down.
God.
What? You do that for a living. Why do you want to do that?
Look, I'm on the radio.
All my friends will be like, did she call you to come do the pretend radio shows on the weekend? Really?
Get me a Marconi.
Look at that. Look who we have as a guest today? It's Mailman Frank. Mailman Frank, sit down.
Boy band, come over.
Come on over. Sit down. It's my pretend radio shows I do on the weekends drunk. All right. Yeah, so a lot to get to with all this stuff, because this is just, I mean, it's horrible, but it's sort of fascinating.
Yeah.
So I guess they're focusing, they think it's in the Indian Ocean.
Yep.
It flew for several more hours than they thought. So they, right, but it could be, didn't somebody say when it dropped off civilian radar, though, military radar picked it up? That's why they have some idea where, what path it might have gone. I think that was the latest I was.
Maybe they just don't want them to know that they know.
Right. Just say, if you want to do anything sketchy, do it over Malaysian airspace is all I'm saying.
There you go.
Because they were saying, like, they didn't see it. They, I mean, was it like Barney Fife sitting?
No airplane was visible.
He just, like, turned the other way. What was that?
Oh, Andy!
Did you see anything? No.
Was it a big bird?
No. Missed that entirely.
A big old bot fly.
Who is on patrol over there, up in that shizzle? All right, so lots to get to. Oh, including, oh my God, that's an incredible vote in Crimea. Wow, that is amazing. It was almost like the, almost 100% that Kim Jong-un got. Did you know 100%
wow.
of the people in North Korea voted for Kim Jong-un?
I think it was 110%.
Really?
It was 106%.
Yeah. Weird.
Many of them were already dead.
There were sprites and fairies.
All right, so we are back from vacation. Hooray! 18 minutes after the hour, right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
The Mecca of Misdemeanors.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour. Back in L.A., all back from vacation. We thank our replacement pilot, John Fugelstein, for flying the ghost plane safely into the show did not end up in the Indian Ocean while we were gone, and I think that
so
is a
far.
Good thing. Well, right? Days early. It's St. Patrick's Day. We are already
drunk.
Yes. I have my green shirt that has a drinking on it as well.
I have no green on it, Todd.
I have no green on at all. It's hard to wear green when you get dressed at 4 in the morning.
Studio's green, too. So, you know.
Ish.
All right.
It's more like lemony. Baby poop.
Right. We have our usual Monday
baby
show.
Baby poop yellow. Great.
Rude Pundit coming up, and of course Eric Bollert from Media Matters. Oh, and for the fine Americans at Free Speech TV and our listeners, another record-breaking fun drive last week while we were gone, and replacement pilot John Fugelstein was
right.
in. Thank you very, very much. Freespeech.org, by the way. Oh, and Jill Natan writes, when you're listing the other great shows on Free Speech TV, along with the Bill Press Show, Ring of Fire, Tom Hartman, Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman, and yours, of course, please mention your buddy Natan's show, The David Pakman Show.
That's Natan's brother.
Is it your actual brother? What kind of nepotism is going on out here? Any of your other relatives have a show? Natan used to be on it when the show was in Massachusetts before David moved to New York and Natan caved to you. I didn't know how we got Natan. I thought it was in a trade for an Anaheim duck, and then it was something about a, you know, TV director.
And a pick to be named that later.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought he was in the, you know, witness protection program. I wasn't really sure. I'm a
You're
helper.
Just a figurehead.
I'm a helper, so I said yes.
Yeah.
It's a very sketchy background. David's on Free Speech TV, too. Another great sexy liberal, as well as his show. Yay! Exactly. Help keep us all on Free Speech TV, won't you? All right. So anyway, 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. We've been talking about what are we calling it now? It's not a ghost plane anymore. We don't know,
because
right.
we don't know what happened.
Right. It seemed like a Scooby-Doo episode when I kept seeing, ghost plane? Huh?
Rogue. Earthquake. We are having an earthquake.
Wow.
We just had an earthquake.
Wow. That was kind of freaky.
Wow.
And the house didn't fall on
Natan,
top of us.
Natan, that was your first earthquake.
Wow, Natan,
wow.
How was
Baby's
that?
First earthquake.
I thought you were shaking it.
No.
I was going to say, stop that. What are you doing?
No, that was an earthquake.
Yep.
See how I automatically blame you for everything? Wow.
Hmm.
I think Travis is screaming like
home.
A girl out there.
He is.
I can hear Travis screaming like a girl. Well, he has a rolly desk, so
oh,
we should go.
Well,
Natan, see if he's okay. We probably should check on him. Oh, my God, that was weird. Okay. Hey, we're all still alive. Let's hope that wasn't a pre-tremor.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm like...
I know. We're on the bottom floor.
That's the biggest earthquake I've felt in a long time.
Yeah.
Well,
we might have to skedaddle, everybody.
There was one off the coast of Northern California a few days ago. Right near the subduction zone where the Pacific plate dives underneath the North American plate. So that's David Bednarland up there, too.
Wow.
Right near there.
Wow. And this could cause maybe the Fukushima radiation to come to wash toward us more quickly.
A little faster, yeah.
Right. Right.
Oh, yeah, we can get a tsunami, a radioactive tsunami.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
Pre-radioactive for your...
Oh, boy. Yeah. Okay. At least we're not on the ghost plane.
That's
the Malaysian transport minister.
We're looking at a large stretch of land. We're crossing 11 countries, as well as deep and remote oceans.
They in some places stopped looking because they're like, all right, just tell us what you think. We're not doing it until you tell us where closer to where it might be. Because they're thinking, you know, it like I was saying, but the route toward the Indian Ocean rather than the other way. Although the weight of I'm reading just from the, you know, all the latest, the weight of suspicion would inevitably fall on the pilots and other crew members. Investigators are following, obviously, established procedures and checking everyone on the missing plane. You can't rule anything out, said one, so everyone on the plane must be treated as a potential suspect. The thing a couple days ago everybody was talking about is soon after the plane disappeared, FBI agents and other American investigators scrubbed the names of the pilots and passengers, mm-hmm. including two Iranian men who traveled on stolen passports. Sounded a little fishy. Just saying. Don't mean to paint with a broad brush. To determine whether they had any connection to terrorists and found none. So that, so far, is the latest they have. Security, they mention on cockpit doors, has been reinforced so that forced entry would be difficult without the pilots having
like
ample time
to send pilots
a warning signal.
The pilots were in charge the whole time.
Right. Well, that's what they're saying. We have to be careful about words and conclusions, examine all possibilities, but the likelihood that it was a pilot was involved appears very likely. And one thing we have found, as I said, in case after case, is pilots, family, and friends are always very, very huffy at the mere suggestion that their loved one, who inevitably loves children.
Let's just end. The pilot decided to do a barrel roll over Kuala Lumpur.
Right. One of them not only played with neighborhood children, but bought their sports uniforms.
Mm-hmm.
So he could not possibly have flown a plane into the Indian.
Could not possibly have flown a plane.
Right. The Malaysian Airlines. Airline or into a... Okay. Right. We are not going to be able to stay away from the Tom Brokaw all morning because it's... Is that bad? Am I going to a special, like a hotter part of hell? That this is a horrible story, but I kept thinking, oh, my God, there's so many L's. Yay! I can't wait to see Jim.
I think that's what caused the earthquake.
It is. Yep. It's God going, you know what? Not funny.
Stop it.
Stop it.
This is hard.
This is hard. Creating the universe. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I went to a St. Patrick's Day party last night, and every important Irish celebrity in Hollywood was there. Maureen O'Hara.
Stephanie Miller.
Dan O'Herlihy. Pat O'Brien.
I'm only a 0.25% Irish.
A 0.25%?
My blood is...
0.25%?
0.25%. Or a quarter Irish.
That'd be 25%.
Yeah, okay.
25%.
You're drunk.
75% Chardonnay.
Irish whiskey.
Okay. Okay. I may be, but I do know that we did just have a 4.7 earthquake.
Yep, centered near Westwood.
You know what that proves, Jim? God is a USC fan. Okay.
No.
Because UCLA is in Westwood, yes.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And so I went to USC, Jim went to UCLA, for those of you that have just tuned in.
Yeah.
And my new house key has UCLA on it.
Oh, my gosh.
Really?
That's but the guy, see what he did? He was a jokester, so he put the USC key down there instead of the UCLA thing.
That's funny.
Yeah, anyway.
Oh, boy.
It's because I can't tell. I have so many keys that look exactly alike.
Yeah.
So,
see, now I'm going to have to get a maroon and gold pantsuit to wear tomorrow.
Oh, God.
I always did not want to be one of those 50-year-old women that showed up to the homecoming games in the maroon and gold pantsuits.
Wow.
Oh.
And now, because
really?
Of Jim, I'm going to have to. Yeah, people on Twitter are saying you could see it on Free Speech TV.
Apparently our cameras shook really bad.
Yes, around. There was just an earthquake.
Yeah, 4.7. Yeah.
You're right.
Center near Westwood, which is west of here.
That's why we left the TV on, so you can see that we're not lying. Because I told you, remember the big one, Northridge?
Yeah.
My mom, remember, did not, but when I called to tell her, she didn't believe me. She only believed because when she saw Katie Couric say it.
Mm.
Like, I called her right when it happened to say, Mom, there's been a major earthquake. I'm okay. And she was like, oh, dear. Well, oh, okay. And then, like, later in the day, she, because then all the circuits went down, you couldn't call.
Right.
And so she finally reached me. She's like, oh, Steffi, I want to know if you're all right. I said, right. That's why I called you to tell you I'm all right. I saw the Katie Couric on the Today Show said there's been a major earthquake. I was like, right. That's what I told you before. Katie Couric told you. What do you think? Yes, the building fell on me after I told you?
It doesn't happen unless Katie Couric says it.
Right. Well, we were saying that's how we know there's been an earthquake in L.A. A lesbian appears on the television.
Yeah, right.
Not this lesbian, a different
one. There's a seismologist at Caltech that they always go to.
Seismologist at Caltech who's a lesbian.
Not Ellen, not me. It's a different.
It's been that way for 25 years.
No, you don't even have to have sound on. You're like, oops, we've had an earthquake.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's that lesbian.
Well, whenever I'm out of town for an extended period, that's where the big earthquakes happen.
Yeah.
I was in Germany for Sylmar, and I was in Chicago for Northridge.
Uh-oh.
I turned on the TV and saw Sherman Oaks is on fire. That's not good.
No, I'm on bedrock. We're on bedrock here. I think we should be okay, I hope.
Yeah.
Because I was saying my old house, same thing. I had no damage. I just had like spilled shampoo in the shower during the Northridge quake, and I was like, God, stupid earthquake. And then I like turned on the TV, and all the buildings are
freeways were collapsed.
Right.
Yeah.
There's shampoo on the floor of my shower.
Right.
Pity me.
We will never forget.
We shall never forget that dollop of shampoo that never saw my hair. I'm a little me-centric. Okay. Hey, look at me.
That's Lee Pavitt, the rude pundit.
He's Lee-centric.
Pundit.
Papa, hold me.
Oh, has Daryl Issa started an investigation to see how Obama is responsible?
Don't laugh. Of course, I saw did you see that cartoon with the Malaysia Airlines flight? You know, when it first started, you know, mechanical error, blah, 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 pilot, whatever. And then just the GOP going, it's Obama. Of course.
Yeah, of course. He's responsible for everything bad that happened.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So rudeness, we just had a 4.7. We'll, if we should have the big one while we're talking, I've always loved you.
Oh, thank you, thank you. I mean, is your house made of balsa wood? What?
No.
No, everybody thought. I mean, a lot of my friends who sleep until noon, this one woke them up.
You know what? Our listenership is probably skyrocketing now. That'll teach you to sleep through our show. Get up.
It was just fun to see, Twitter all of a sudden, everybody on my Twitter feed that's in L.A.
Yeah.
Like, holy crap, the earth just moved.
It was a big one.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
If you're still tweeting, you're okay.
Exactly. That's what's happened in our social media world, right? No matter what disaster, we'll still be tweeting. Rudeness, happy St. Patrick's Day.
Well, happy St. Patrick's Day to you. Happy running of the stereotypes.
Yeah.
But I was going to say, first of all, a couple of big things in the big gay stack today. The Guinness, will not be sponsoring the St. Patrick's Day Parade because of the exclusion of gay groups. And the Boston mayor.
That's right.
Yes, did not march in the parade because of the exclusion of gay groups.
Right. I think it's just pathetic at this point for there to be this big parade that's this major tourist attraction for various cities. And for them to say, we're going to exclude a group if they're open about it. They're still at Don't Ask, Don't Tell, the Irish Pride community.
Yeah.
Right. Did you, who was it while we were gone, the Attorney General in Kentucky, did you see that?
What?
He was, he's not going to defend their, marriage, the gay, anti-gay ban, and he started crying, He's a straight man crying, and something heavy did not fall on him. He was crying for everyone's right to
love. Nobody thinks he's straight now.
Well, all right.
Especially in Kentucky.
Right.
Crying when something heavy falls on you in Kentucky.
He might as well be drinking mineral water
in
Kentucky.
Still makes you a light loafer.
That's
okay.
It. That's it.
Because I was reading your, I enjoyed your last post, but the follow-up of shut the up and bake the cake. And you actually went to the website of the Cakery of, Indianapolis that this was part of this whole suit, right?
Yeah, well, 111 Cakery. There was no lawsuit. They weren't part of a lawsuit or anything. But they declined to bake a cake for a gay couple having a commitment ceremony, citing their religious beliefs. And even though they're willing to take gay money for other things, like if you just want, you know, a nice cupcake, they'll take your gay money. But if you want them to design one of those, you know, crazy fondant-covered cake things.
What is fondant?
I don't know. Is it edible?
Yes, it is. It is made out of almond paste.
Oh, thank you, Chris.
So it's marzipan. They're covering their cakes in marzipan.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yummy.
Or Play-Doh. It's Play-Doh.
Who made the joke that pretty much every wedding cake looks gay? I don't know.
What the deal is.
So it wasn't even a wedding. You know, it was because Indiana doesn't yet allow for gay marriage. But they took a stand and they went on their Facebook page and said, you know, they took the artistic tactic, which is we couldn't feel inspired to do a nice cake, and we felt like that would be not good for our customers if we just didn't feel inspired.
It makes you gay if you make a gay cake.
Yes, yes.
Right.
Yes,
right.
You'll get infected by gayness from the sugar coming out of the tube.
So I feel if you know what fondant is, you may already be gay.
Well, I knew.
Oops.
Yeah, there you go.
Yep, there you go. I have no response to that.
To paint you with a rainbow pastry brush.
Yeah, you know, it happens.
You know, if you know, when you're squeezing something that looks like, never mind.
Yeah, okay.
We don't get it.
Exactly. Oh, okay, that's enough.
When you're glazing the cake, it's okay.
Yeah.
You know, one of my favorite ongoing Rude Pundit series, of course, is Your State Sucks. In this case, Your State Sucks, Missouri legislature busy debating laws to shut down its one abortion provider. That's nice.
Yeah. Isn't it? First of all, I mean, this is seriously, they're down to one abortion provider in the entire state of 6 million people. And it's a Planned Parenthood in St. Louis, which means that that all of those areas of the Ozark Mountains that are there, no services for women there. And you know it's real easy for them to get to St. Louis. Or is it St. Louis? I never know.
Who can say?
Only if Judy Garland is
around. If Judy Garland's around, then
now,
it's St. Louis.
And now we're magically back to gay. Yeah. Now,
Jim said
friends
that one.
Of Judy. Jim.
But they, so they're, so the, so the, so the legislature is debating laws that they're probably going to pass. I mean, the House has passed some of them that are targeting really this one abortion provider in Missouri.
Yeah.
Not only needing the permission of one parent, but that at least 5 days before an abortion procedure on a minor, the second parent needs to be notified. So essentially putting in a 5-day waiting period for minors. Which is always safe to do.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, if a father has abandoned you, that'll be real easy to get them notification.
Insane stuff.
A 72-hour waiting period for everybody else, which only two other states have passed and it's being challenged. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah. Speaking of insane, let's talk ghost plane. Jim, look. Guess who's taking lead in searching for the Malaysian airline? Australia.
Australia is searching for that Kuala Lumpur-bound airline.
Right.
At this point, if it's not UFOs, I'm just going to be pissed off.
No, it's got to be aliens. Come on.
You want to know what's going to make it go erratically up and down and all over the place, pinging things everywhere? UFO.
Maybe. Yeah, I mean, I've had everybody speculate everything possible, right? Like that, oh no, they're going to find it, it's somewhere and everybody's on it still. Like, really?
Yeah. I mean, you've got everything from Lost to...
Right, it's a smoke monster.
Right. Yeah, did you see that there was a...
Maybe
British
it's part
British...
of that new series, Naked and Afraid.
Yeah.
Maybe they're all naked and afraid somewhere.
All naked and afraid somewhere. Somewhere in Kazakhstan.
Sure.
Which is generally not a good place to be naked or afraid.
No.
No, definitely not.
They really should call it Dirty, Naked, and Afraid.
Dirty, Naked, Afraid, and Airborne.
Just like a virus. All right. I love you, Rude Pundit. I've missed you so.
Oh, same thing. Welcome back.
Thank
and
you.
I hope that your house is standing next week.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Appreciate that. All right. There he goes. His rudeness.
Oh.
Hooray. All right. Lots of folks with lots of speculation about the Malaysian.
That's all CNN is doing, so why not us?
What?
That's all CNN is doing.
Oh, my God. Except they had a toy plane. Did you see
really?
It?
Really?
Oh, CNN. Come on.
Oh.
See, they had a toy plane. This is how you know there is too much there's too much airtime to fill in the United States.
I'd rather
watch
Wolf Blitzer sort of waving his arms.
I want to see how Jane Velez Mitchell is covering it.
The toy plane. This is what we think happened. Really, CNN? Oh, my God. 45 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Shake it up. Shake it up.
I get it.
Yeah.
What the hell? We've been downgraded already to a 4.4 earthquake? Just when we were bragging about our 4.7?
That's a quake for pussies.
Oh, for God's sake. Was it the Russian judge?
East German judge.
Somebody asked us, can Natan play when the quake hit the show? We'll replay that tomorrow.
Yeah, during one of our breaks.
When the quake hit the show, and I blame Chris, as I often do.
You did.
I seriously did. I thought with your giant man muscles, you were shaking the thing or something.
Why would I do that?
I don't know. You're a man. All right. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. So, yeah, we did. We just had an earthquake.
Yep.
And it was scary.
It was about a half hour ago.
It was scary.
Yep.
Exactly. And we realized that, Travis will be the one to go first.
Yeah.
Cause he's in a little cubby hole beneath the stairs.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's the gnome that lives beneath the stairs and everything will pancake.
Yep. He thinks it's structurally more sound there, his little corner.
Yeah. He'll scream
his own little chair.
Well, did you hear him screaming like a girl out there?
Yeah. He was screaming. It was like a brony does.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's going to kill you during the next break.
Listen, I've only been back for 5 minutes. Henry in Denver, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Henry.
Good morning. How are you, Steph?
Good. Go ahead.
Well, I'm retired military, 30 years, Navy.
Ooh.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi.
I could barely hear you. pardon me. I feel that...
Wow, your phlegm is coming through loud and clear. Just let me let you know on this end.
Unfortunately, all right. The fact is those pilots were known to bring young ladies into their cockpit.
Right, one of them. One of them was, right.
Yeah. And when I was in the military during Vietnam, in that area, the hookers knew where we were going before we knew where we were going.
Oh, I see.
So, and I believe that that information was given out, and that they were taken over, and I believe that they were put into taken to a small airfield somewhere, put into a hangar, and
really?
A bomb put on the thing.
Wait.
That's my thinking.
Oh. Wait, you think someone
There's
put a bomb?
There's a lot of areas around there with remote airfields all
right
over
now,
the place.
Can happen. I mean,
used.
Right now, yeah. Okay. Anything can happen.
Yeah, wait a minute. Explain how the hookers knew where you were going before
That's a good question.
The hookers with
probably
the bombs.
Because somebody was running their mouth.
Oh, all right. Okay, thanks. Cockpit sounds dirty already, so.
And hookers have bombs.
See, this is what I love about a story like this, because it just makes people go bat. It's awesome. Okay, Cindy in Pennsylvania, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Cindy.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
I want to know you start my morning the right way. You guys crack
with an earthquake.
Right.
My comment is, I saw pilot number one on the news. I guess it was a still photo because he was already in the air, but his simulator was like 3 or 4 computer screens, and he was turned around facing the camera, smiling like the butcher's dog, and it looked a little sinister to me.
Hmm.
And that's my comment on it. I didn't like the looks of it. You know, they said, sometimes want to learn how to go to an airport they've never touched on in and make maneuvers. But I don't know. It sounded a little fishy to me.
And I would like to congratulate you for the phrase smiling like the butcher's dog, because that
Oh, thank you. That's
I have not
slang
heard.
Pittsburgh Penguins. I stole that from him.
All right. Thank you. That was spectacular. Smiling like the butcher's dog. Well, everybody looks guilty in retrospect.
Yeah.
When you already think they did something, you're like, oh, yeah, that is.
All the passengers look guilty.
We just were focusing on the geekitude aspect of it, because we were saying it would be like me pretending to do a radio show all day.
Yeah.
After you guys are gone and no one's listening. So it would be my job and my hobby. It's just weird.
Yeah.
It makes it a jobby.
It's just weird. I'm not saying I didn't do it when I was out of work for a while with cardboard cutouts like in, you know, King of Comedy. But I'm just saying, now that I have a job, technically, why would I have to... Okay. Why would it also be my hobby? Buddy in Columbus, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, buddy.
Hey, Mama.
Hey, baby.
You know the reason the plane went disappeared?
Why is that?
Obamacare.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
And you know where it went to?
Where?
Kenya.
Benghazi.
I sense that Tommy prepared some jokes this morning.
Yeah.
For our return. Isn't that cute?
Aww.
People miss us and they prepare little, you know, little homecoming gifts.
Maybe Daryl Issa stole the plane.
It didn't have the LoJack kind of thing he invented. What the hell did he invent?
No, it was the Viper. Alarm.
Viper
right.
Alarm.
Oh,
Viper alarm.
Oh, there was no Viper alarm on the plane.
Step away from the car.
Yeah,
step away from the car.
And it's the alarm that has like eight different sounds in a row.
See?
Yeah.
No Viper on the Malaysian Airlines jet. There you go.
And proof that that hasn't worked out is we didn't hear it after the earthquake.
Right. Because
that's the only purpose of that thing, to tell, hey, we just had an earthquake.
Yeah. That'd be funny if pilots had that, like they locked the plane. Okay, locked. No one get in. Vic in Minnesota. Hi, Vic.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Well, you know what? Just because the guy has simulators in his house doesn't make him a nutcase. It's like saying when you go home and you look at your ratings every day, oh, you're nutty for looking at those. Yeah, just because
I don't look at my ratings every day. I don't care.
Oh, okay. Well,
people listen, they don't. Who cares?
But here's what we do know. Now, nobody has said anything about this, and I'm a pilot. Okay, you fly out, and if you notice by the animations on CNN, 24-hour coverage of this event, you notice the animation where he started his turn back. Well, that's called an equal time point. The first day this happened, I knew that this was a problem. This was probably a hijacking or a pilot control takeover. Because if you look at the animation, the turn back point is right at what we call an equal time point. That means you have a choice to continue on.
Right.
Or the choice to turn back. But what happened was, and I think you'll ultimately find out, it's not the guy with the simulators. If there's anybody, it's the UFO. What happened, they turn the transponder off, and the captain inquired to the UFO, hey, why are you doing that?
Mm-hmm.
And now a fight ensued in the cockpit for takeover. Now you have a turn back towards Malaysia, and now the fight, ultimately, the captain wasn't successful. Now the UFO.
Oh, you think it was a fight between the pilot and the co-pilot?
Yeah, a fight.
Oh, the only one of them wanted to. Okay. But what? You're basing that on what?
Say again?
Well, just the way he just explained it.
Oh, okay. Well, explain it. Re-explain it. I got lost.
I think he's just making up.
Okay.
Much like CNN.
They could be like wild
speculation.
They could be like the fighting, announcers in airplane.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
There's no parking. There's no diverting the Malaysian Airlines.
That is not true. You just want me to get an abortion.
Oh, my God. Now I'm hoping we find the voice recorder, Jim, and it was a big gay fight.
I'm not talking to you. I have the airplane. No, you can't have it.
It's mine. Get up. Stop it. Stop touching me. Oh, my God. Will we get a voice recorder eventually if they find the whole black box or whatever?
I hate you on your ass face.
You're a bastard person. Give me this plane back.
And it ends with a slap fight.
Stop it!
Not the face!
Not in the face!
Ow! It's Steven! It's Lennon! Okay.
Oh my God.
Oh, wow. Heavens. Okay. We're back from vacation, 58 minutes after the hour, right back.
This is like a show right before vacation.
Right?
What is wrong with us?
We need some more rest. Okay, right back with Eric Bollard on the Stephanie Miller Show.
gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. We thought now there was a snow front, but it was just Max that came in. Earthquake in Maui.
Snow.
Now a snowstorm. This is Max, everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the Rude Pundit says, early morning earthquake in L.A. and Twitter are as bad a combination as liquor, a breakup, and Facebook.
Awesome. Thank you, Rudeness. Oh, and everybody asked, will Natan replay the moment that the quake hit the show earlier this morning? And he will.
He can't play it today.
No, but he'll do it tomorrow if you give money to Free Speech TV. We're in a fund drive, everybody.
Wow.
Freespeech.org. We have to thank our lovely and talented replacement pilot, John Fuglesang, who safely flew the ghost plane while we were gone. And we raised record money already. Thank you, kids. Keep us all on the air here at Free Speech TV. Do it. Do it.
Do it now.
Exactly. God was just giving you a little here. Still want this show? Just a little, that was
I just
a little
want to shake
call.
Things up a little bit.
Yeah, shake it. He was trying to shake money out of people's pockets to give to free speech so we can all stay on there. Mm-hmm.
That was our very own Shamrock Shake.
Thank you. Happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody. Mm. All right. Oh, and sexyliberal.com, sexyliberal on Facebook. Thanks to sexyliberal Carlos Alzraki, who also sat in with John last week. Yep. Go get all those tickets for upcoming shows, and there's new pictures up from the Fort Lauderdale show, etc. Jackie Schechner, Sexy Liberal, was here 2 whole days and was fabulous.
Whoa.
I listened to some of it. Some hot, hot, hot pictures of her from the Fort Lauderdale Sexy Liberal show. All right. Speaking of sexy and liberal, Eric Bollard from Media Matters for America doing the Lord's work as usual.
Eric Bollard.
Come on, baby.
Eric Bollard.
Let's dive into the right-wing world.
I don't know what that means.
Eric Bollard from Media Matters, whom we love.
Bollard.
Oh, Eric Bollard, a week without you. It's just, and look what happens. President Obama makes a plane disappear. You see?
And we get an earthquake.
Exactly. Eric, you know, it's hilarious. I just love your comments, your tweets basically about the quote-unquote liberal media, right? You say, by the way, I'm totally shocked Democratic senators are facing tough re-elections in states that voted for Mitt Romney. It's just, here we go with this, you know, media narrative that where the Democrats are toast, right?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, you know, on the before the Florida special election, there was a lot of, let's not read too much into this because people didn't know, you know, which way it was going to go, and then Democrats lost the district by 3,000 votes that they haven't won in 4 decades in a southern red state, and it was just off to the races. You know, this was doomsday, this was a disaster, et cetera. Look, there's no question, I mean, the Democrats face an uphill battle,
right?
Particularly in the Senate, if you look at the math. Yes, it's amazing that Democrats are having trouble in deeply red states like Montana and Louisiana and Alaska and Arkansas.
Right.
I mean, it is what it is. But this is now passing, you know, it's a wave, you know, it's going to be massive. If this was a wave election, Democrats like Al Franken would be in trouble, and New Hampshire would be in trouble, and New Jersey would be in trouble, and Iowa would be in trouble. They're not. They're in trouble in very red states, which is what it is. It's the math. And
well, and
they're definitely in trouble there.
Here's what, and I've said this before, Eric, is that what I fear is that people believe this media narrative and Democrats stay home. And I read one analysis in Florida. They said that's what happened. Democrats stayed home. If you look at another poll, Eric, 64% of Americans do not want Obamacare repealed. And I think Paul Begala said it best, run on it, run on the offensive. I think that's the problem, is we get scared or we get dispirited by the media narrative and stay home, right?
Yeah, look, we clearly see a pattern that's been established. Democrats do very well in presidential years in terms of getting out the vote, getting out all the key demographics. They do very poorly in midterm elections. This is shaping up to be another one of those. And look, if the media narrative for 8 or 9 months, which we're at now, is going to be doom, doom, doom. You know, I'm not saying that's the reason the Democrats might not do well, but it certainly doesn't help. And here's my bigger problem. This is just, you know, the press just loves this narrative. I mean, they have, you know, look at, you know, they talk about Scott Brown. Oh, he gets in the race in New Hampshire. Oh, that's a huge problem for Democrats. He's a strong candidate. He's a serious candidate. And most of the articles don't point out that in the most recent poll, if he got in, he trails by 13 points.
Yeah.
You know, Ed Gillespie gets in the race in Virginia. Oh, he's a serious candidate. This is a problem. It's going to expand the map. Last poll, he trails by 27 points.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If Republicans say that this is good news for the candidate, you know, and the press just types it up, and this has been going on for years. If you go back to 2014, when the Democrats basically ran the board on the Senate side, in late October, there was a front page piece in the Washington Post saying Senate races, you know, look good for the Republicans.
Yep.
So this has been, it's not just this year, it's constant, and the press loves to build up this hype that basically the Republican press releases that we might do really well this year.
The one, and that's why I think it is so important to keep talking about this, Eric, in an election year, because we do have trouble turning out our base, I think, in midterms, meaning younger people, minorities, stuff like that, whereas what they're saying, the one thing about Obamacare, what it does do is energize the right wing. Mm-hmm. It's not, and you're right, unless we energize our, you know, our base to go out and support it, you're right, it's the people that are activists, right, that are going to turn out.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and some people after the Florida vote, they were looking at it like, well, you know, did that Democratic candidate really offer Democrats a lot to get excited about, a lot to vote for? Yes, she had run previously. She ran a good race for governor and lost a relatively close race. But, you know, was she someone that excited the liberal progressive base? And, you know, if you looked at it, you would say basically no.
Yep.
But, again, this is a district that Republicans, you know, had won for decades. You know, as I pointed out, you know, if Democrats successfully defended, you know, a congressional race in New York State that they had won for four decades and they won it by 3,000 votes, I don't think we would see the same press reaction that we got out of Florida. Look, no doubt that was an opportunity for the Democrats to win, and they could have sort of stemmed the tide. It didn't work out.
Well, I like I say, I hope it activates us rather than dispirits us. That's what
I'm. Yeah, right.
And I mean, that's why I'm doing Sexy Liberal. I'm going to go to each and every I have a 50-state Sexy Liberal strategy. I'm going to Madison this month. I'm going to Chicago.
Yeah!
Right. Then I'm going to Albuquerque. Then I'm going to Minneapolis.
Okay.
But as you point out too, you tweeted about Fox, realization Fox's gray audience is virtually all 65 plus, so they don't care about minimum wage and overtime anymore. No wonder Fox bashes it.
Yeah.
But, you know, the point is our base does care about that, and that's if we could turn them out.
Yep.
Right?
No, if you look at the polling, the only thing more popular than gay marriage right now is minimum wage. I mean, both of these poll off the chart. You know, I don't think Democrats are going to turn marriage equality into a cornerstone of midterms, but that just shows how the country has turned in a significant way. Minimum wage, you know, 60-70% of Americans, a majority of Republicans. I mean, it's just across the board. So, you know, the issues are there. The question is, will the Democrats successfully do it? And this is where, you know, the Republican noise machine comes into play. And this is, you know, why they're so successful, I think,
right,
in the midterms, because without a national figure like a Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton,
right,
it's tougher to make these races national.
Well, and that's why I say run on Obamacare, on strengthening it and fixing it. It's like they're running on a website being a fiasco. It's like that's in the past.
But they created
the narrative, oh, Obamacare is a disaster. Yeah. We're going to run on that.
Yeah, you know, Democrats, I wouldn't say are famous for their discipline or their backbone in election seasons. I mean, look at the Democrats who voted down, you know, Obama's civil rights nominee. Now we get reports that the Surgeon General nominee is not going to be put up for a vote because Democrats are scared because the NRA doesn't like it. So, you know, we're seeing the sort of usual cracks in the armor and sort of everyone running for the hills, you know, afraid of the NRA, afraid of Obamacare and things like that. So, you know, it's tough when you're on the defensive, but it might be refreshing to actually try to fight back and see what happens.
Well,
so
you know,
the Surgeon General thinks people getting shot is a bad thing? Huh. Interesting.
Yeah, wow. He had the crazy idea of connecting gun violence to medicine.
Ah.
And 100,000 people who are shot every day and the billions of costs that a cost passed on to taxpayers every year.
Eric, one of the things that you know you talk about so well, because you're you know it's not hard to go back in history. It is hilarious, the narrative about this president, doesn't matter what it is. In what your piece is, of course, about the Russian situation, where do people not remember that Putin invaded Georgia when George Bush was just president? Did you hear any of this?
No.
About him being a puss in mom jeans? Really?
Right, right. Yeah. There was none of it for various reasons. One, I think people were so exhausted. This was August of, 2008. Bush was like 27%. People were like, when is he leaving? Even the press corps was like, this guy is just beyond. So, I mean, when Putin and his troops marched into Georgia, it was, people were just like, compared to the Iraq war, people were like, whatever.
Whatever.
I mean, he had, the American foreign policy was in such complete shambles. But no, certainly there was very little talk of, I did a piece of, did some research looking at, the Georgia coverage and just the amount of so much less coverage, so many fewer mentions of George Bush.
You're so clever at finding actual quotes like Charles Krauthammer. Well, obviously, it's beyond our control. The Russians are advancing. There's nothing that will stop them.
Right.
Wow.
That's what Fox did. Yeah. They just sort of threw up their arms. They're like, it's 5,000 miles away. It's internal. These tensions have been brewing for generations.
But Bush was commander. He was commander guy.
I'm commander guy. I decide. I'm the decider.
Yeah.
And I decided. The best part was, then Bush then went to flew off to Texas for a 2-week vacation. Nobody said boo.
No. President Obama's the first president has ever played golf.
I think Boo to Boo just marched into Georgia because he wanted some grits.
Oh my God!
See what he did there, Georgia.
By the way, how about the Zach Galifianakis?
Between the ferns.
Between the ferns. Hilarious, but of course, once again, oh my God, dignity of the office. This is the first time a president's ever gone on a comedy show.
Right. There was this great exchange. I think it was an ABC reporter talking to Carney saying, was there discussion about, was there like a situation room discussion about whether this will demean the president? And he's like, no, we just liked it. We did it. and it was basically, a huge success. I mean, yep. the bit was very funny. And, it drove some traffic. It was win-win. But, I tweeted. I can't remember if anyone ever asked Ari Fleischer if, that $2 trillion war had demeaned the office of the president when, Bush was in office.
Nicely done, sir. And finally, I just wanted to get to your, you were saying no pundit flip-flopped as hard as Wall Street Journal, Daniel Henninger.
Yeah.
He said, as of this week, it's official. Vladimir Putin has turned Barack Obama totally into Jimmy Carter. Blah, blah, blah. He went on to blame Obama for pretty much every recent diplomatic skirmish. But interesting. What did he write now about Bush and when that happened?
Oh, he wrote a whole column about, when Putin invaded Bush.
Pardon me.
That would be news, wouldn't it?
And didn't type the word Bush, didn't type the word president, didn't type the word, White House. George Bush was not a player when Russia invaded Georgia. He was simply, his weakness had nothing to do with it.
No, he was just playing no incasa.
It was Europe's fault. It was Putin's fault. Everything. And in the span of just a few years, we have Wall Street Journal columnists, just completely flip-flopping.
By the way, I don't mean to traffic in mindless gossip, but I'm just saying, who knows, when Bush looked into Putin's soul, maybe he did invade Bush. Maybe he doth protest too much on the gay stuff. That's all I'm saying. Eric, great stuff as always. It's just, it's always so great to just like read the exact quotes and how they're exact flip-flops,
Context is helpful.
Yes.
Thank you. Eric Bowler, see you next week.
Okay,
all right.
Captain Doppler effect.
He got in the ghost plane and flew away. Okay. 19 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number up the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
You have enough blessed all morning, don't you?
I do. I really do.
Earthquake songs.
Shake your body on down to the basement.
Right. Yeah, right. We have we've survived, everybody. We survived the 4.4. We were downgraded to a 4.4 earthquake here in L.A. this morning.
A pussquake. That's what Dr. Kate called it. She called it a puss quink.
Unless it's a foreshock.
That's a smear against cats, isn't it? By the way, ask me what I got obsessed with for some reason in my vacation insomnia.
What?
Kitty videos, particularly gobbles from a little kitten named Turkey that gobbles when he eats his food. This is...
Okay, that is kind of cute.
Okay, it's really cute. Oh, my God. Okay. He's named Gobbles. Okay.
No, he's named Turkey.
But that, Turkey. You know what happens when you go down the rat hole of, like, you think I'll just watch one more cat video and one more? There the cat circus. Have you seen that? Acro Cats?
No.
Mm-hmm. The cat circus where they do tricks, and there's also a cat rock band, and they all play different instruments.
How does that work exactly?
Yeah. My cats would not be down for that.
Kind of hard to do a bar chord when you have no fingers.
They don't have thumbs.
3 a.m. and you're watching that, you're like, something has gone horribly awry with my life. I love the woman that runs the thing. She goes, cats are terribly unprofessional. she said they sometimes do the tricks and sometimes they don't, but people still love it. All right. In other, just saying, cat people, cats are evil news.
Hmm.
Vicious pet cat traps Portland couple who call 911. This is in both of your futures, just saying. Police had to be called in to subdue a 22-pound house cat that had trapped its owners inside their bedroom after attacking their baby.
I heard the 911 call for this during vacation.
See?
Yep.
The baby was not injured, just in case you were wondering. Yep. Officers responded to a 911 call that evening from a couple who had locked themselves in their bedroom with the baby and the dog after the cat attacked their child. The 911 operator could hear the cat screeching in the background as the couple awaited help.
I heard the 911 call. You could hear the cat screeching in the
owners
background.
Owners told the dispatcher the cat has a history of violence. He said the cat remained with its owners, who apparently are at least sleeping with one eye open.
They need to call that guy from My Cat from Hell, Jackson Galaxy.
Right.
Can I hear the 911 call at some point this morning?
I'll try and find
it. Okay. Just saying, people. Cat people, no offense.
I mean, you just had too much catnip.
Maybe.
Just got some bad catnip.
Yeah, sure.
And then laced with paraquat or something.
We're in the bedroom. And I went up. Operator's like, your cat? I'm sorry, what?
Really?
Oh, okay.
Are we talking puma?
We're in the bedroom. Pat in Oregon, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Pat.
Good morning. How are you today?
Good morning. Go ahead.
I call because I'm feeling that our good Democrats are really have an uphill battle with no limit on political contributions.
Yeah.
The Koch brothers just pick a candidate and he's in, and I don't know what we're going to do about it unless we can get a limit on contribution back.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, yeah, this Koch brothers' money is really, really disturbing, Pat. And, I mean, that's why we've been talking about people like the California billionaire Tom Steyer, who's going to put $100 million in candidates on our side. I mean, it's the only way you can fight back. We were saying that about talk radio. People don't get that, you know, the conservative zone, all these companies, they got this infrastructure in place years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and unless wealthy liberals buy stations, you're not going to have the same megaphone to be able to get out the same message. And that's why all a fine American can do now, Chris, is go to freespeech.org.
That's right.
And say, screw you, corporate man. I want my Tom Hartman and my Stephanie Miller and my Amy Goodman. And give us some cash.
Although, don't say that to the friendly operators.
No, don't say that. I'm paraphrasing. Okay. I'm just, you know, I'm improvising.
Okay.
Okay, so the latest in the Ghost Plane. Or as Tom Brokaw would say, the Molly.
What?
Molly's an airline.
Malaysian Airlines 777.
Right. Malaysian investigators officially have concluded one of the pilots or someone else with flying experience hijacked Malaysia Airlines Flight 370 that went miss. It's gone missing. Was it
up
ever near
Brainerd?
Was
no.
it near Brainerd?
No.
I don't think so. It was ever near Brainerd.
Hmm.
But it was near Kuala.
Kuala Lumpur.
Right. And we will give you all the latest. Ghost plane. 29 minutes after the hour, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It's been St. Patrick's Day for hours, and I'm still not drunk yet.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll-free from anywhere. We were just going all Chris Farley during the break, weren't we?
Yeah, we were.
Remember that time we got talked to Goldie Hawn about that scene? And Death becomes Earth, and she's wearing a fat suit, and she's eating frosting out of a can. She had all the cats. Okay, because we were telling cat stories. Oh, you found the 911 call from Portland?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, this is the couple that are locked in their bedroom because they've been attacked by their house cat.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, hi. I have a kind of a particular emergency here. My cat attacked our 7-month-old child, and I kicked the button, the cat in the rear, and it has went off over the edge, and we aren't safe around the cat. It's a very large Himalayan, and we're trapped in our bedroom. He won't let us out of our door.
Okay, does the child need medical attention?
No, no, he's just got scratches on his forehead. But the cat, we don't know what to do about the cat. He's gone, he's trying to attack us. He's very, 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 very hostile.
Well,
I tried to
hold
the animal control.
Hang on just a second. You guys are inside your bedroom right now.
Yeah, yeah. And if I, when I leave out the bedroom to let the police in, I'm going to have to fight this cat.
Hang on just a second. I mean, you said the cat is large. How large?
22 pounds, maybe.
And you said your child does not need medical attention, right?
No, no, he just got a couple gashes on his forehead. They're very small, puncture ones, little punctures. He's got a little bump. I kind of got the cat before he did any more damage.
Okay, and do you think the cat is ill?
I don't know. I think that the cat is, he's got kind of a history of violent, he's kind of a violent cat already.
Oh.
But he's really he's bad right now. he's charging us.
He's charging
us? At our door, bedroom door.
Well, has he had shots? I mean, what if he has rabies or something? You know, it's...
Okay. He's charging them.
Well...
Okay. That is spectacular.
Well, every morning...
How much is he charging them?
Maybe he's overcharging them.
When I first got Jazz, he would... charge me every morning.
Really?
Right as I poured my first cup of coffee, I had a big mug full of hot coffee. He would attack my ankles.
Yeah, that's because cats are psychopaths.
Well.
Okay.
No.
All right. No. Okay. All right. I rest my case. Hello, Karen in West Palm Beach. Hello, Karen.
Hello. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
We're still warm down here. I just thought you should know that.
Well, good.
I'm going to say this even though it's probably politically incorrect, but the district in Tampa that Alex Sink lost has been Republican for 56 years except when Barack Obama won. And the problem is that the minority population did not come out to vote. There was no send up to go out and vote. Nobody advertised it.
Right.
There was
Karen,
nothing. And when
right.
And it's generational. You know, if your father doesn't vote, you're not going to vote. If your grandfather doesn't vote, and up until the last election Obama.
Right. Karen, you can't say that enough times. The reason what happened in Florida just happened is because Democrats stayed home.
Mm-hmm.
Right. They have activated their right-wing older base that, you know, is anti-Obamacare, but that does not mean it's the majority. And it better be a lesson, I hope, for the midterms.
But it's not because you're not reaching the population that needs to hear it. They're not listening to you and to the rest of progressive radio.
I beg your pardon.
They're watching ABC and NBC and not seeing the message. And not understanding it, and we as Democrats communicating.
I hear you. I mean, I don't know if that's true because I don't think kids are watching the networks. Are you kidding? The big three, the only ones that we had when we were growing up. I think that's a historical thing that younger don't turn out in midterms. Younger folks. I am just drunk in honor of St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, and by the way,
yes.
Apparently the baby pulled the cat's tail first.
Ah.
Oh, sure.
Well.
Looking for, exculpatory evidence, are you, cat people?
Uh-huh.
When you pull a cat's tail, it's
going to
say, hey, don't.
Stop doing that. How do you like that? How do you like them apples, huh?
And then the dad kicked the cat in the butt.
Yeah.
And the cat was like, oh, no, you didn't.
It's the sad cycle of violence. As the dad said, the cat has a history of violence.
Yeah, because the kid was probably pulling his tail all the time.
Well, you don't know. Maybe he just cold cocks people, no notice. You don't know what the history of violence entails.
How old is the kid?
Maybe someone was texting. It annoyed him. Who knows?
While driving? The cat was texting while driving?
That was directed at you, Jim.
Exactly.
Because it's just a little bugaboo. People that are driving with kids, typing and crashing and killing people.
You wound them up.
Little bugaboo.
You wound them up.
Okay, Christine wants to talk about the cat story. God. Hello, Christine in Cleveland.
Can't wait for someone texting to hit your car.
Go ahead, Christine. Thanks, Jim.
Just checking. Wanted to make sure that this segment is about aggressive pussy police reports.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't have one, but I thought aggressive pussy was kind of...
All right, that's enough.
Christine.
Okay.
I see that no one has grown up while we were on vacation.
It was a one-cat pussy riot.
Yeah. Our listeners had one thing to do, and that was to grow up.
Right.
And they couldn't even manage that one thing.
We left you one instruction, grow up. All right, fine. We would like to thank sexy liberal John Fugelsang, who did a fabulous job. I got to listen to some of it on vacation. What did all y'alls do on vacation? We haven't told our vacation stories.
I went to Vegas for the first half of vacation and then went to wine country for the second half. I know. I don't drink wine, but I went on a winery tour on Saturday.
Right. Travis thought I hijacked the Twitter account.
Yeah.
So yeah. It was no.
And I even bought bottles of wine from wineries. I'm like, who am I?
Wow.
Yeah.
You're turning into me.
Oh, God.
I'm completing you.
Oh, no.
What? No brown liquor?
Jim, what did
you
do?
The brown liquor was in Vegas.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Lots of things after 3 a.m. You saw midnight, I heard, for the first time ever.
Well, not for the first time ever, but yeah, I was up till midnight in Vegas.
Wow.
Wandering around looking for food, mostly.
There's no food in Vegas.
Well,
you have to scavenge.
Vegas.
You have to go dumpster dive.
It's being overtaken by all these highfalutin fancy restaurants.
Ah.
You can't, there's not really a place to get a good burger at midnight.
Oh, you have a burger here, but it costs $1 million.
Exactly.
All right. I went to Canyon Ranch, which is the happiest place on earth, courtesy of sexy liberal tour director Roland Skehu, who I learned a new thing about. Every time we go on vacation, I learn a new thing. Well... You know, one time I saw his...
Balls.
Never mind.
Yeah.
Right. That didn't happen this time. But there are little turtles there. It's our favorite thing. You can feed the turtles. They're little turtles like this.
Uh-huh.
Roland Skehill screams like a girl when feeding a turtle. They're tiny, the cute... We're going to post pictures tomorrow. They're the tiniest, cutest little turtles. And they just go like this.
Uh-huh.
He screams like a girl.
He's a city mouse. He's not a country
mouse.
Yes. They all sound like Mitch McConnell.
Anyway.
Someone else has stolen that from me, by the way. It's like everywhere.
I know.
Mitch McConnell's.
Yeah, there was turtle trouble. I'm telling you.
Turtle trouble.
Turtle tunnel.
Anyway, it's my favorite place on earth. I had the greatest time. Thank you, Roland. And as you know, Jim, what do? On vacation, I exercise myself to death. Everybody guess, how many miles did I hike and bike?
How many miles did you hike and bike?
Guess.
100.
Well, that's low. That was low. 85. Oh. I hiked 50 miles and I biked 35.
Oh.
Yeah. One of them was a 7-hour hike, 7,000 foot elevation.
Why?
That does
15
not sound,
miles.
That's not a vacation.
It was awesome.
God.
It was awesome.
What is wrong with you?
It was only like guys on the thing with me, of course. All like 20 something guys. And here's what I learned. When you hike with guys for like, 7 hours in a row.
Yeah.
They have the weirdest conversations ever. Three of them were like their childhood friends and they go, hey, dude, Danny, dude, what? Okay. You're going into a medieval battle. What weapon do you choose?
They got all bro on you, didn't they?
And he's like, what is it? Where is it? It's like, it's a field.
Mace. I'm going to have a mace.
He chose the thing. What's the catapult or that thing? What's the thing?
Mace. Trebuchet. No.
No. It's medieval times. There's no mace.
Nunchucks.
No. That's spiked ball.
That's a mace.
Oh,
it's a mace.
Fine.
That's what it is.
Well, I thought you meant the spray mace.
No. God. They're talking about medieval stuff.
Where do you even get these questions? Out of the big book of man questions?
God.
I can assure you a girlfriend
Have you never watched a movie?
That is.
It's a mace.
It's not a girl question. We'd be like, if you were going into a medieval battle, what color would you paint your nails? That's what I don't. I was like, that is so random. It's just, okay. Big book of man questions. It must exist somewhere.
They're gamers,
it's hypothetical.
Clearly.
Right. Sort of like.
Those are bro questions.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Normal guys don't ask questions about mace.
Yeah. And I know one of them, I think he was meant as a compliment, but he was like, oh, you're like as old as my mom. What he meant was she couldn't do that kind of hike, but it was still like, oh, thanks.
Not bad for a middle-aged woman.
Thanks. Oh, you want to hear my best story? So the last day I did the power walk because I didn't have time for the hike, so I was through the neighborhood.
Uh-huh.
And let's just say I did not time my coffee correctly.
And there are no trees with leaves.
No, but I was like, oh, my God, oh, my God. I was like, oh, God, it's a residential neighborhood. Where do I – what do I, because you remember we had a station in Tucson, and we probably will again.
Mm-hmm.
And yep. I pictured someone going, honey, is that Stephanie Miller in our lawn?
Although not too many people have
– a history of that.
Not too many people have lawns in Tucson.
Well, in their cactus.
Yeah. So you had to squat on a cactus?
No, I did not. I didn't.
Okay.
Made it back.
Good.
I made it back to a bathroom wall as well.
Because
I did not leave random droppings in Tucson.
The teddy bear choya, they look soft.
Yeah.
But
don't sit on them.
Don't sit on them. No.
Anyway, all right, we will post a vacation pic.
But you had that, you know, in New York. You were riding your bike and you had...
Oh, that was seaweed related. I ate seaweed for some reason because I was on a kick then with that. Yeah, and Yeah, that was a lot.
You need more hard cheese and drywall in your diet.
I need to adopt Wolf Blitzer's
diet. Especially if you're going to walk 900 miles.
Yes.
You need to, yeah.
All right. I will post a pic, not of that, but the rest of the pictures tomorrow. And thank you, Canyon Ranch. All right.
So that's fun for you.
That is fun. It's the funnest ever. I had the greatest time ever.
Fun for me was lying out by a pool with pool drinks.
Have to keep moving. I can't stop. Got to keep moving. She's like that in airports. You know?
Yeah, I know.
If there's like...
I've flown with her.
If there's like 10 minutes, you know, till you get on the plane. No, I have to walk. I have to walk to the home terminal.
Hold my bag.
I got to keep moving.
You're like a shark.
I'm like a shark.
You die if you stop swimming.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Look at those eyes. They're like a doll's eyes. Okay. That was from John.
Your relationship's like a shark. You know, it just stops moving. It just dies.
Okay. All right. 46 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Join the party. 1-800-STEP-1-2. Stephanie Miller. Ground shook its groove thing.
Yes.
Hello. It is the Stephanie Miller Show live from Earthquake Central. We had an earthquake earlier.
We did.
Oh my God.
We're live.
That was really scary. Yeah, we're live. Sure. Okay. This just in. We're still live. 4.4 earthquake here in Los Angeles this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And Natan will replay the clip tomorrow because we were scared.
Apparently our cameras shook.
Yes, they did. 51 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12.
Time to worry is when I'm out of town for an extended period, like
right.
3 years, because that's when the big quakes happen.
Right. You're grounded. That's it. Your vacations are canceled.
I'm not going to Kuala Lumpur.
By the way, I forgot to tell you about someone else I met on vacation. I like to call him Anti-Semitic Bob. Remember, because I was thinking of the hilarious story that Kathleen Madigan told us.
Jew eat? Nah, Jew.
Oh, about Victoria Jackson, yes.
Yes. That a bunch of comedians, including Louis Black, they were all in a van, and she said to Victoria, "Oh, do you and your husband still live in Florida?" And she said, "Yes, but we have to get out." And Kathleen said, "Well, what, taxes?" And she said, "Oh, no, it's the N-words." And then there was just...
But she didn't say N-words. She said the word.
Of course not.
Yeah.
And there was just shock silence. And so then when everybody got out, Louis Black, of course, started screaming.
Yep.
"Oh, my God! Are we all racist and none of us said anything, but we were shocked! We were..." I was saying how my landlady in New York in the 80s, she used to frequently say the N-word because she figured she didn't understand. When I would say I was offended, she thought it was like a different word. She did not understand why white people would be offended because we're all white here.
Right.
Sure.
Not saying the N-word. Anyway, but yeah, have you ever had one of those conversations where it was borderline racist, but I wasn't really sure where it was going, so I wasn't sure what to, you know, because you're on a long hike, you're making conversation, and you're just like, you know, there's a lot of Jewish people here this week. And I was like,
well,
right?
Yeah, and?
You know, it's just interesting culture, you know, ideas.
Did he assume that you weren't?
He's from Canada, I guess. And he's from Canada. He goes, yeah, we don't really have that. And I was like, there's no
plenty
Jews,
of Jews in Canada.
Maybe Saskatchewan.
Really? I was not having a lot of oxygen in my brain, but I was sort of like, and he goes, oh, that's... something that, you know, the older ones are really in great shape. And I was like, what is this conversation about exactly? I don't really. You know, the guy that owns it is Jewish. I was like, uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's just one of those. But then we got back in the van. This is apparently where all the blatant racism happens is in vans.
In vans.
Right. Then he was telling, because then I thought, okay, I don't know if he's really just weird or is he anti-Semitic? And so this is what confirmed it. He was saying, oh, you know, so-and-so Bob back at the, you know, place told me about that. My best friend, you know, Jewish Bob, you know, Big Nose Bob.
Oh, God.
And I'm looking around. Did anyone else just hear that?
Wow.
Did you speak up?
I did not. I did not, because we arrived right at that moment. And I was like, oh, my God. Okay.
I remember when Tom Bradley was running for mayor, and some kid said, "Yeah, my parents not going to vote for him because he's a N-word."
Yes.
Yeah. Felt like I'd been slapped in the face because I'd never heard anyone talk like that outside of, you know, I've never been to Georgia.
Yeah. Good God.
Certainly not Soviet Georgia.
Good God. You just mentioned Fred Phelps, the anti-gay.
Yeah, founder of Westboro Baptist Church.
Some interesting information.
We'll set it up first.
Could it possibly be a
wheel of right-wing hypocrites?
As you know, I've spoken to and been hung up on many times.
Yes, you have.
He is the pastor of the God Hates Fags Westboro Baptist Church. He's reportedly near death.
Yep.
From?
There are rumors going around that he is dying of untreated full-blown AIDS.
Hmm. Right, which is why he was excommunicated from his own church
last August.
Wow.
Fred Phelps is reportedly near death, according to his estranged son, Nathan Phelps, who wrote on his Facebook page, "I learned my father, Fred Phelps, senior pastor of God Hates Fags Westboro Baptist Church, was excommunicated from the church back in August of 2013. He is now on the edge of death at Midland Hospice in Topeka, Kansas. The Phelps family is now blocking anyone who is no longer with the church from seeing him, including Fred's sons, daughters, nieces, and nephews. Over on Twitter, some are calling for a picket of Phelps' funeral, as obviously he did to all millions of other people, but others suggest the better response would be to ignore it completely.
Or to show an outpouring of love.
Yeah, yeah.
Which would be ironic and, I don't know, Christ-like.
Boy. All right. As we mentioned, by the by, the both Guinness, the beer, pulled out of the St. Patrick's Day parade is Boston?
New York and Boston.
Right, New York
and
Boston. It
was Boston yesterday and New York today.
And the Boston mayor, Boston's Irish-American mayor, skipped the city's St. Patrick's Day parade after failing to hammer out a deal that would include the gays.
Yep.
So much of our Irish history, he said, has been shaped by the fight against oppression. As mayor of city of Boston, I have to do my best to ensure all Bostonians are free to participate fully in the civic life of our city. Unfortunately, this year, the parties were not able to come to an understanding that would have made that possible. Yay for him. And Bill de Blasio will not also, for the same reason, in New York. All right, back to Ghost Plane. The Commander William Marks, U.S. Navy, yesterday, talking about...
Just to give you some context as to the size of that area, if you superimpose a picture of the United States in this area between India and Malaysia, it'd almost be like looking for one person somewhere between New York and California.
That narrows it down.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Well, we were saying that I guess they're I thought they were focusing on the Indian Ocean, but it's the weirdest story ever. The Associated Press reports Malaysian investigators have officially concluded one of the pilots or someone else with flying experience hijacked Malaysia Airlines Flight 370 that went missing a week ago. So they lost communication with ground control less than 1 hour into the flight into Kuala Lumpur.
Malaysia.
Right. According to CNN, the last voice communication from the cockpit during the flight were the words, "All right, good night." Oh, okay, good night.
Yep.
Nothing more to see here. The communication came after the communication system and the transponder were shut off, meaning I guess the incident probably started before they originally thought.
Right.
So, yeah, and I was saying the thing that I'd heard yesterday about them flying way too high out of airspace. It might have been to depressurize the cabin, so people went unconscious so they couldn't text or whatever, which... Representative Peter King yesterday.
There's been no terrorist connections whatsoever. There's been no terrorist chatter. There's nothing out there indicating it's terrorist. Doesn't mean it's not, but so far nothing has been picked up by the intelligence community from day one. I still have questions about the two Iranians around the plane, but again, that could be a side issue.
Well, that's what's so weird about it. Normally, a terrorist group would have taken responsibility by now. And so it just remains, why? Is it just pilot suicide? Is it something weirder? Anyway, so back with all the latest on that as we continue, and hopefully no more earthquakes.
Yeah, please.
58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh my God, John Fugel saying his lips were right here all last week. What would you give, ladies, to be me right now? It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
Did you just lick the microphone?
Mm.
Ew.
Sexy Dick. Liberal John Peebles thing, who did a fabulous job filling in for us. And all our other friends, Sexy Liberal Carlos Alzraki and company, Jackie Schechner, the whole gang.
Rick Overton.
Yeah, Rick Overton was here. Greg Proops, I heard.
Yep.
Hilarious. Great job. By the way, speaking of Sexy Liberals, Jill Bond, who is an awesome blogger, etc., sent a pic of me and her in Fort Lauderdale, Sexy Liberal.
Hooray!
When she was not wrapped around John Peebles saying like a koala, because... All right. Speaking of which, go to sexyliberal.com, sexyliberal on Facebook. March 29th, we were going to be in Madison. That's been sold out forever, so forget about it.
Yeah.
But Chicago, the Mooks will be there. Let's do it. Chicago is in April. What is it? April? I don't have it in front of me. 26. Albuquerque in May.
April 40th.
Minneapolis in June.
April 40th.
Go to Sexy Liberal Facebook, sexyliberal.com. There's lots of great picks up from Fort Lauderdale and Phoenix, what all y'alls were at, and et cetera. All right. And also, we are in a Free Speech TV fund drive again.
Yep.
Find Americans. Go to freespeech.org. Do it. Apparently another record-breaking amount last week when John Fugelsang was our guest pilot flying the ghost plane.
Yep.
Also, by the way, someone, Gordon, says, Steph, Comcast doesn't have Free Speech TV. Please encourage your listeners to call Comcast, 1-800-COMCAST. Do it. Do it, like Fred, my dog, says.
Do it.
Just do it.
Do it.
But you can, of course, if you have DirecTV or Dish, you can see us, or Free Speech, StephanieMiller.com, freespeech.org.
Yep.
Roku.
Just go to the Roku store and get the Free Speech TV app.
There you go. All right. Jim, someone has sent along a guess the quote. Sounds like it's about trickle down. The promise was that when the glass was full, it would overflow, benefiting the poor. But what happens instead is that when the glass is full, it magically gets bigger. Nothing ever comes out for the poor. Who said that?
William Howard Taft.
No. Pope Frank. How about that? Speaking of, we had my personal comedy Jesus in last week, the ecclesiastical MOOC. Yeah, Pope Frank sounds like a communist, for God's sakes. He sounds so extra Jesus-y.
I hope he's got a good food taster.
Exactly. All right. Latest on the ghost plane, the Malaysian Airlines flight that went to Kuala Lumpur. Right.
777.
Exactly. It gets curiouser and curiouser, doesn't it? Because you still don't know. Again, it could be just, I guess, pilot suicide, but it is... it's just the weirdest.
I kind of hope they did go to some place like Kazakhstan or whatever, so
the people
crew
still
could be alive.
I know.
I just don't know.
We were saying, though, it's hard to hide a stolen plane, isn't it? Do you just put white out over the Malaysia Airlines thing?
It's a big damn plane, too.
Right. Then it's just crudely painted like in magic marker or something. No. This was not the Malaysian Airlines flight. This is
maybe they had a Romulan cloaking device.
This is Air Kazakhs. Okay.
Maybe it was Wonder Woman's invisible jet.
Maybe. Okay. Representative Mike McCall, Chairman of Homeland Security Committee.
One thing we do know, this was not an accident. It was an intentional, deliberate act to bring down this airplane. We don't have any evidence this was terrorist-related, although you can't rule that out at this point in time. My understanding is the Malaysian authorities now have searched the homes of both the pilot and the co-pilot for information that could lead us to determine why this was done. I think all the evidence is pointing towards the cockpit, towards the pilot and the co-pilot.
Yeah. obviously, at this point, it is. Mm-hmm. We were just saying, though, he's talking about the pilot that had the, what is it, at home?
The flight simulator.
Yeah.
Right, this flight simulator, which you're saying it's weird to have your hobby be the same as your job.
Simulator.
Yeah. It's weird, isn't it?
Unless you were practicing a particular kind
of
approach.
It'd be like me having a radio studio in my house.
I do have a radio studio in my house, but it would be like if I pretended to do radio all day for the rest of the day when no one was actually
listening. If you were preparing to land at a particularly difficult airport, maybe with a runway that's too short for a plane as big as a 777, practicing.
That would be like her practicing for a particularly difficult subject.
Right. How do you know I don't rehearse for hours?
Oh, please.
Well, because it would be better if I did.
Yeah,
I would pronounce things right and have cogent points if I put any kind of effort into this. If I had a radio show simulator that I could sit and, like, you know, so there'd be like a rehearsal.
Oh, that joke didn't fly.
Yeah, I need to punch that up. Well, I get as much response, by the way, when no one's here as I do when you two are here. At least I don't get negative response, and no one corrects my pronunciations.
Well, that's the problem.
You know what I do? I do the show with my yes man when I'm in my off time.
Yes, Stephanie.
Did I pronounce that correctly?
Yes,
Stephanie. Thank you.
Mama's right.
Yep.
Right again.
Thank you.
As usual.
Right.
Absolutely, mm-hmm. Stephanie.
Mm-hmm.
You're absolutely right.
That's right.
You're right.
Yep.
Everyone else is wrong.
That's right. And I have cardboard cutouts of both of you.
That's okay. Creepy.
All right. Yeah, it is just weird, though. Would it be like, what do you do for a job? I'm a mailman. Oh, what's your hobby? I'm a mailman. I pretend to deliver letters.
Well, no, but again, if you're trying to practice a certain maneuver that you don't want to do with an actual plane.
Well,
right,
you got to give them that. They care more about their job than I do. I don't care enough to do this in my off time.
Shouldn't you know how to do pretty much all maneuvers if you're going to be flying a plane with that many people on it?
I'm saying if you were in a giant plane like a 777 and is trying to land on a shorter runway, that was not built for a plane like that, say, somewhere in Kazakhstan.
Most airlines have simulators. You really don't need one at home.
Yeah, but it would look suspicious if you went in for simulator stuff when he didn't really need to, you know. But if he did it at home.
But they'll also be able to tell if something was pre-programmed in there, right? Aren't they already saying that?
They're already
looking
at what was flown.
Right.
On that simulator.
Right, because it was pretty complex. It was pretty, like, knowing how to, you know, evade radar and, you know, which route to go and blah, blah, blah.
Does that tell you? That he's...
Well, you know what it tells me, first of all, is it me? It seems like it's a little elaborate just for pilot suicide.
No, like, I don't think it is a suicide.
That's what I mean. Wouldn't you just take the plane down if that's what you were doing?
Exactly. He was playing. He had other plans for the plane, it seems like.
Right. Like, maybe it ended up crashing, but that wasn't the point. I don't know. It's the weirdest.
We're just as bad as CNN now. All they do is spend all day speculating.
I meant to go find a toy something during the break. I love Don Lemon, but oh my God, that was just. And what we're thinking is.
Pretend this is a plane.
Okay, if that candy bar. This lint roller. God, CNN has been reduced to like your parents trying to feed you when you're. Here it comes.
Open up the hangar.
Here comes the Malaysian Airlines jet full of yummy squash. Did your lint rollers not a plane?
No.
Okay. That's what happens when you have hours and hours to fill.
Yeah.
They just, you know, they can only do the animation so long. Right. I'll go find some other toy objects.
I'm still going with the Romulan cocaine device.
Yeah.
Use that time bomb.
That could have been, someone could have had a time bomb.
Sure.
Just the game, not an actual one. Just a you know.
And the co-pilot
with people. Ha! Just kidding. It's not a real one. It's the old 70s game by Milton Bradley.
Milton Bradley.
Got you guys.
I think it's from the 60s.
That'd be a sick joke on a plane, but still, if you took out the.
Yeah.
Just like, okay. Just kidding. Catch it. Okay. That's what we were talking about. The pilot, the other thing is that there were two other cases. We were talking about Egypt Air. And whatever that were pilot suicide, I guess. And the thing I never get with that too is why take a whole plane load of people? Why don't you just kill yourself if you're gonna?
People who kill themselves aren't thinking rationally. So why, you know, they don't care about the people on the plane.
Well, let me tell you, when I got on the plane yesterday, I was like, "How you doing? You feeling okay? What's going on, Droopy? you're not depressed, right? Okay, I'm just gonna get right up and every pilot says hi.
Why do you ask?
Do you need a hug?
I'm going to hug the pilot every time, even if I end up in Gitmo. All right. A former NTSB investigator yesterday.
If you're intentionally shutting off those systems, only one reason is to basically vanish, to make it very difficult to find you.
I speculated earlier, could be part of the series Naked and Lost. Naked and Afraid.
Naked and Afraid. Lost, Naked and Afraid.
Right. Lost, Naked, Afraid in Kazakhstan.
The smoke monster.
Sure.
Okay. Here he is again, the former in...
The pilot can turn off the cockpit voice recorder and the flight data recorder, basically by pulling circuit breakers. It'd be very easy.
Oh.
So, I mean, if it were a suicide flight, he wouldn't bother doing that. He would just dive the plane right into the ocean.
Right.
So he's going somewhere, and he doesn't want people to know where he's going.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was obviously very elaborate.
So I'm hoping those people are still alive.
I know. That would be amazing, I think, at this point. But, yeah, here's another NTSB investigator.
It may be that somewhere down the road, a month from now, 3 months from now, a year from now, there may be debris that washes up on the beach someplace that will be identifying the airplane, but we will never be able to track it back to find the actual debris site if it's in deep ocean.
That's what people were saying yesterday, that in the ocean after this many days.
Mm-hmm.
That was incredible to me. They're saying they may never find this.
Yeah.
I mean, because I don't know what floats up or floats away at a certain point, but, and I think the area is so wide.
Well, seat cushions, mostly.
Right, right.
Things would float to the surface.
And, oil and
people.
Fuel. Bodies, yeah.
Yeah, but bodies in the ocean for that, you know what I mean? It would just seem... I don't know.
Well, for a while.
Until the sharks with freaking laser beams get to the people.
Right. Mm. Like a doll's eyes. Okay. Andrew, somebody's going to need a bigger boat. Everybody's going to need a bigger boat.
Definitely.
Right. Andrew in Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Andrew.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
So I just wanted to mention about the flight simulator. I have a friend who's a hang glider, and he has a flight simulator at home because he's a flight enthusiast. So... Mm-hmm. I don't want to necessarily demonize anyone who has this as a hobby.
I want one.
Yeah, Jim wants one.
I also, why is it crazy to assume that pilots might actually like to fly planes and stuff when they're at home?
Yeah.
Well, no, you're right, and it could be innocent, and he just, he's a plane geek. He likes to do it. He likes to be, but the other thing is...
airline pilots have, pit specials, for doing aerobatics and stuff, too.
Right. I mean...
Days off.
Andrew, I think because of what's happened, obviously the speculation is, was it for nefarious purposes to plot out something like this that
nefarious.
Or Nicolosi, or Nicolosius. Nefarious or Nicolosius.
You know what? When I do my show later, when I do my fake show, my simulator show later, there will be no one here.
Oh, yeah. And that's why you keep
there
mispronouncing
things. There will be nobody
things.
Here with nefarious purposes.
Will you stoop mispronouncing things?
Trying to
things?
Disparage me.
Oh, disparage.
18 minutes after the hour. I'm going back in my radio show.
You kicked off a barge.
I'm going back in my radio show simulator.
Mm-hmm.
If you've been kicked off a boat, you have been disbarged.
Everyone thinks I'm pretty imperfect in my radio show simulator.
Great.
Here, everyone hates me. 18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
We are to the very bottom of the earthquake.
We have
song
one more.
List.
One more shake song?
We have one more for the 45.
Okay. Yes.
Shake Your Booty by...
We have all survived a 4.4 earthquake this morning.
Yep.
Please give us sympathy. Group hug, everybody. Okay. Oh, and also...
We will remember. What?
That is borderline...
Awful.
Thank you.
Yeah, okay.
We shall never forget what happened an hour and a half ago.
That's right.
When this thing shook like that.
And you thought it was me.
You thought I was doing my old Katharine Hepburn impression. Okay, so, and we were talking about this is when you have air time to fill on CNN. Was someone doing this to Don Lemon? Is that how someone thought of it? Here, just hand him a toy plane.
I was listening on Sirius XM on my way home from San Francisco yesterday to CNN, and poor Jim Sciutto was just trying to really stretch and fill.
Right.
They have the same experts over and over
My favorite
again.
Guy today is that maybe hookers send aliens? something. Oh, and someone emailed us that what is there a lot of in Malaysia, Chris?
Yeah, Michael in Wisconsin tweeted, you know, it occurred to me that there are a lot of snakes in Malaysia.
So Samuel L. Jackson hijacked the plane.
Just saying. All right. Oh, because I was thinking, we don't like we didn't we
look,
don't.
Look, it's
I don't
a dog and pony show.
This is my dog. Welcome to my dog and pony show. But I'm just saying, now that we're on Free Speech TV, maybe we need ways to illustrate points too. Okay, so if Cuddles the guide horse were the Malaysian plane. Okay, I don't know. And then Max and Fred flew in okay.
You know, if you give to freespeech.org, we can afford better props.
Jim, there's, you know, obviously still terrorist speculation. Jim has my time bomb and also a cowbell with which to demonstrate what might have happened on the
I've got a time bomb and a cowbell and a watch.
Where's the watch been?
In the cowbell.
And where were both of those?
Up my ass.
Okay, thanks. Okay. All right. And then who rescued them from up here? Max and Fred.
Oh, oh my God, you have gone off the deep end. You're like a Malaysian Airlines pilot.
Exactly.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Well.
Allegedly. All right.
Allegedly.
Yeah, the story, the longer it goes on,
Kuala Lumpur,
the more crazy speculation there is.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. So, meanwhile, oh, look at this. Why, was that... That was really a nail-biter, wasn't it? The Crimean vote?
Uh-huh.
Huh. They overwhelmingly have voted for it. It's amazing what Russian rifles pointed at you will do to change your mind quickly. Fireworks exploded. Oh, those were already? How did they know what the outcome was going to be?
Huh.
Fireworks exploded and Russian flags fluttered above jubilant crowds Sunday after residents in Crimea voted overwhelmingly to secede from Ukraine and join Russia. The U.S. and Europe condemned the ballot as illegal and destabilizing and were expected to slap sanctions on Russia for it.
They've already announced it.
Right. Ukraine's new government in Kiev called the referendum a circus directed at gunpoint by Moscow, which it
computed that, yeah.
Was. After 50% of the ballots were counted, more than 95% of voters had approved.
Huh.
Joining Russia, which is just short of Kim Jong-un's 100%.
Right.
Well, apparently a lot of people who wanted to stay with Ukraine just...
They stayed home.
Well, they stayed home and they went to
this
church.
This is a lesson to you about the midterms, ladies and gentlemen, here in the United States.
They went to church and prayed about it, which is...
Not good.
That's not what you do in a democracy.
Yes, they stayed away denouncing the vote as a cynical power play and a land grab by Russia. Senator Dick Durbin...
Putin, this is the single most serious act of aggression since the Cold War. Mm-hmm. He ended up the final ceremony at the Sochi Olympics, which are network covered, trying to make a charm offensive for the world that this is a modern Russian nation. And within hours, he's invading one of his neighbors, sending the same troops that were protecting the athletes at Sochi into the Crimea. Now, are we going to stand by and say this is acceptable conduct? Because this isn't the end of his ambition.
Okay, so let's say Max and Fred are Crimea and the Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
And then Putin is Cuddles, the guide horse that comes in. Okay, I'm sorry. I've been watching too much CNN over my vacation.
Please go to freespeech.org.
Please go to freespeech.org. We desperately need better props. I'm not sure how cowbell comes into the Crimean crisis, but I don't.
Crimea needs more cowbell.
Right? Right. Yes, the U.S. Called it obviously illegal, and while shifting sites to deterring possible military advances elsewhere in Ukraine that can inflame the crisis. And by the way, as Eric Bollert told us, back when Putin did the exact same thing when George Bush was president and invaded Georgia, for some reason George Bush had nothing to do with that.
No.
Nothing about being a big puss in mom jeans. Nothing.
No, that was Obama's fault, too.
Right, yeah. Right. Oh, by the way.
What?
I'm sorry.
The Crimean War, Obama's fault.
Exactly. And, he was too busy diverting the plane.
Crimea River. That was Joe Cocker's fault.
Right.
Sure.
So Sarah Palin, with her usual, I don't know, remember the whole...
Abraham.
Joie de vivre.
Je ne sais quoi.
She did a new skit.
Après moi le déluge.
Let's see, CPAC. All right. Hey, you know where Max and Fred are from? The Great Pyrenees, the Pyrenean Mountains.
The Pyrenees
in France.
Mountains, yeah.
In France.
Well, and Spain.
Yeah, they're on the border of France and Spain.
Yeah.
I just wanted one more opportunity to use my prop. Okay. 29 minutes after the hour, I'll tell you about her skit.
Oh, boy.
Next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Passing out, cursing on St. Patrick's Day. There's nothing sacred.
Hello, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. All right, we have, you know, listen, we do not have CNN's budget in order to have an actual toy plane for the Malaysian Airlines incident. But, however, I did bust into my Christmas. I'm just saying.
Your little doll show?
Who else could have been involved that is in airspace that is sometimes not? Santa? Could Santa have been involved?
The Santa visit Kuala Lumpur?
Glad you didn't bring out the baby Jesus from the Christmas box.
Oh, right, Christmas.
I didn't. That wasn't a long enough commercial break. I actually was digging through the box to find the baby Jesus. To involve the wise man, right, and the baby Jesus.
Wow.
But I'm just saying.
And maybe a stray donkey or something. A
couple of reindeer flying in airspace, that could have been unrestricted.
What's in his bag?
It's actually Santa candle.
Oh, okay.
Who can say what's in his bag? Okay, Howard.
It's not my bag, baby.
Howard in Pittsburgh, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Howard.
Yeah, Stephanie, I worked for the airlines for about 40 years. And I worked on a 737, 757.
Okay.
I never worked on a 777, but anyways, you have to have an awful lot of knowledge, especially when you're in the air. If you're trying to do certain functions on the airplane,
right,
you have to pull certain circuit breakers to get your result, but then protect the integrity of the airplane. A lot of times when we're on the ground, after we would do a maintenance function, we would have to check the aircraft, do a test.
Are you flying right now?
Pull certain circuit breakers in the cockpit while we're running the engine, and to get our result. So whoever did this had to have a lot of knowledge. Now,
yeah.
If you go to 45,000 feet with that airplane and then not totally depressurize the airplane but partially depressurize the airplane, the people would not die, but they would go to sleep.
Right. Well, that's what somebody was speculating, so they couldn't text or use their cell phones or alert anybody, correct?
Right. So then it appears to me that's what was their purpose, to do that.
Hmm.
And then they came down, and you can see when they came down to about 29,000 feet, which is too low. So, that airplane could be sitting in Iran right now.
Wow.
And
yeah.
Who knows what,
from what I saw this weekend, apparently didn't have enough fuel to go to Iran, but had enough fuel to go as far as Kazakhstan,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well,
no, because people are trying to connect the Iranian guys that with the stolen passports. But, yeah, I don't. Mm-hmm. Have you noticed that every story we do, every single person in the audience is apparently a pilot?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it is.
I think he was flying.
While he was talking to us. I hope he didn't accidentally shut off the transponder. Who can say?
Huh.
Yeah, I don't remember what the last story was, but it was weird. Our entire audience consists of whatever the story, whatever expert it calls for.
Well,
not questioning all y'all's. Maybe I have a huge,
listenership
among
nuclear
pilots.
Physicist, brain surgeon, pilot, astronaut.
Right.
Submariner.
Right.
And
the whole Obamacare debate, how many surgeons have we talked to that apparently stepped out of surgery just in order to talk to us and tell us a thing or two about a thing or two? Okay. Richard in Washington, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Richard.
Hi, Stephanie. I'm afraid I'm not a pilot.
Oh, for God's sakes. How'd you get through?
Yeah. I wanted to call because my brain is going to explode with this new talking point that the Crimean vote was held at gunpoint. It wasn't. I have family there. It wasn't. They wanted to go back to Russia. They feel that they're Russian. They wanted to be Russian.
Yeah.
Now, I do know that the numbers are off because a lot of the people that were against it didn't vote.
And there was no option.
Yes, well, there's that.
Yeah, there was no option.
Exactly.
That's the other talking point.
Right.
There were two options. One was to go back to Ukraine.
Right.
One was to go to Russia. And this talking point now that, that didn't count, that the Ukraine vote didn't count. No, it did count. No one wanted that. They're Russians there. I don't get this.
Well,
that we have to get involved.
Yeah, no, I don't. I don't think anybody wants us to actually get involved, except for Lindsay, of course.
Do something. Do something manly. Drop a bomb. Blow
and
something up.
La la. I mean, friend John McCain said...
It's not the policy. It's not the policy.
He returned from a trip to the Ukraine. Oh, he's always in all those trouble spots, isn't he? Oh, questioning the president's judgment?
Uh-huh.
Calling for a fundamental reassessment of the United States' relationship with Putin. No more reset buttons. Oh, that was a CS snap on Hillary. Russia is a gas station masquerading as a country. It's a kleptocracy. It's corruption. It's a nation that really is only dependent upon oil and gas for their economy. And so economic sanctions are important. Although I don't know if they're manly enough for Lindsay. Has he run
still
that up the Lindsay poll?
Not manly enough.
Pardon me?
The Lindsay poll?
Theoretically, you know, just figuratively speaking.
I'm sure McCain has.
Anyway, what was that guy saying? Oh, I was saying, but when they did the numbers before this, Chris, the majority was not for returning to Russia. But like you said, nobody, they didn't turn out the other side. I mean, because obviously there's intimidation going on.
And if there's no option, is it assumed that you say yes if you didn't vote yes?
Right. It was like the North Korea vote. Do you think Kim Jong-un is awesome or just really, really awesome?
Really, really awesome.
Oh, no.
Right. And I would put them on with more R's as well. Okay. I was talking about Sarah Palin's CPAC. Well, because we talked to Eric Bollard and Ruth Punnett about how it's hilarious. So, first of all, the president is hilarious. It was hilarious between two ferns with Zach Galifianakis.
Yes, that was great.
And the web traffic went crazy for it did exactly what they wanted to do for the web to get young people signed up for Obamacare.
Yep.
But it is.
And the right wing is saying, oh, there's nothing but a commercial for Obamacare. Right. That's the point.
Jonathan Capehart in the Washington Post. Many Republicans, other defenders of presidential dignity, didn't find the Between the Two Ferns interview with President Obama as hilarious as the rest of us did. Let's see. Who said? Unimaginable that Truman, Ike, JFK, Reagan would appear on Between Two Ferns. They carefully protected the majesty of their office, tweeted David Gergen.
Ugh.
No, they appeared in comedy scenarios all the time.
Just this sentence makes me laugh. Dan Senior, former foreign policy advisor to George W. Bush. So we should take him seriously because he was the foreign policy advisor to George W. Bush.
Yikes.
Took to Twitter. President Obama on Between Two Ferns had me longing for the days of Prime Minister Thatcher asserting the dignity of her office.
Gack.
Yes. So let's contrast that with the dignity, Jonathan Capehart writes, displayed by Sarah Palin at CPAC. Did you see the skit, Jim?
No, I did not.
Oh, it was hilarious. She imagined a limp exchange between Obama and Russian President Vladimir Putin, and she thinks it might go a little something.
Like this.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jimmy Carter.
Okay, this is the law. This is her jokes she wrote. Oh, this is her doing Obama? Okay. Vladimir, don't mess around or you're going to feel my flexibility. Because I've got a phone and I've got a pen and I can dial it really fast and poke you with my pen. Pinky promise.
Wow. Did she have writers helping her with this? Maybe it's that Christian comic.
Who just never has a punchline. He just laughs at his own jokes. Did you get it? No? Okay. Thank God.
She is the carrot top of the Republican Party. Did you see after the Bloomberg thing, she brought a big gulp? She always has a prop or something. Okay.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
That could have been our vice president, ladies and gentlemen. Okay.
And Fox News stopped labeling him as a comedian and just started labeling him as a contributor.
What does he contribute?
I don't know.
Comedy.
Loudness?
Sure.
Mara in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Mara.
Hi, Mara? How are you doing? Thank you guys for the show. I really enjoy it.
Thank you.
So I have a theory about the airplane and why no one has taken responsibility for it.
Why is that?
Well, I'm thinking maybe what they're doing is they're trying to show that they can dominate all of the news for all of this period of time, and that they are going to show that the plane is going to show back up, and it could be filled with explosives, it could do some kind of damage, or it could just show back up, and they're going to say, you know, look what we can do to you. And look how we can dominate everything while we do it.
Where is it now?
I think that'd be pretty terrorizing.
But where is it now, do you think?
Well, I have no idea.
Oh.
Sorry, I don't have a theory about that. But I'm just saying that wherever it is, however they've evaded everyone's ability to find them, that they could come back I mean, you know, what? I mean, this is, you know, I hope you don't think I have.
You mean like, no, of course not. Like, you mean like Glenn Close in the bathtub?
Say that again?
Like Glenn Close in the bathtub in Fatal Attraction.
Oh, I don't know. I don't remember that part.
Oh, my God. All right. Well, okay.
How do you not remember that part of the movie?
The part where she comes alive again in the bathtub. She, okay.
That's like the big ending.
Right. And then Michael Douglas's wife shoots her. What?
It's a sled.
What?
Rose.
All right. Got it. Okay. Wowee. Yeah, you said she didn't have a theory on that. Which don't call a radio show unless you have mindless speculation. We got time to fill, people.
Yes. 3 solid hours.
You have no idea. You haven't even thought about where the plane is? She comes back. Okay. Oh. All right. Gunstack. Oh, okay, so you know the guy that shot the other guy in the theater, Jim, for texting?
Yeah.
Shot and killed the guy? He was also texting.
Oh.
The former police officer accused of killing a man in a movie theater during a dispute over texting had used his own phone to send a message to his son minutes before the shooting.
Huh.
Matthew Reeves told detectives his father texted him, told his son he was already seated inside the theater. Matthew Reeves planned to meet his parents, but he was late because he stopped to get his car washed. Mm. Oh, and so that's the guy that shot the other guy and that killed him in the pub. Okay. Here's another responsible gun owner story, Jim. Pennsylvania trooper fatally shoots pregnant wife in the head while cleaning his gun. And this one out of Florida, where, as you know, George Zimmerman roams free.
How hard is it to determine whether there's a bullet in the chamber? I mean, there's got to be some way other than pulling the trigger.
Yes, you would think. In Florida, where, as I mentioned, George Zimmerman still roams free, elderly woman with dementia jailed for feeding birds.
Wow.
What?
An 81-year-old woman diagnosed with Alzheimer's and dementia is being held in jail because she was allegedly feeding crows.
God.
So that woman's... Thank God, in jail.
But you shoot somebody. Hey, I'm just standing my ground.
Right. Uh-huh. All right, 46 minutes after the hour, back with the remaining moments of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now, 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
Yeah.
Shake down.
I get it because we had an earthquake.
This was my last shake song.
This is it. This is the last one. Good job. A lot of them.
Thank you.
Thank God.
I would suggest Shake Your Booty by Frank Zappa.
There you go. Okay.
Sure.
51 minutes after the hour, 1-800.
It's spelled differently.
I get it. Yes. And,
he's, all right. Don in Santa Maria, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Don.
Good morning, Steph. Good morning, Moogs. Welcome back.
I got to tell you,
first of all, John was great while you were gone. He is the smartest guy in class.
He is. I listened, and I thought he was fabulous.
The one thing that seemed to, you know, with the plane thing, I mean, sure, you can do all this stuff and maybe, you know, make the people unconscious or whatever, but once, if you do land this thing someplace, not only do you hide that, but you got to hide all these people. What are you going to do with the facilities for all these people? Two guys are not going to pull that off by themselves.
Yeah.
So, and if you're going to crash it into the ocean, why not do it on the way to, you know, between Malaysia and Vietnam? I mean, why are you going to fly out to the middle of the...
Right. That's what he said. It seems more complex than that, than a simple pilot suicide or whatever.
Yeah, and you know, you've also got laptops, iPads, telephones. If you knock all these people out, one guy's going to fly the plane, one guy's going to go through the cabin... rifling through everybody's belongings and get all this stuff.
Now they're really bastards if they're iPad thieves, because that's people.
You know, because they're going to be stealing people's identities now. You know, and what happened?
And now it's identity theft. Add that to the list of charges, Jim. Okay, people love their Apple products, Chris. That's nothing to mess around with.
I know.
You know, when sometimes you do something as a joke and then it comes true. Hannity blames Obama for missing plane. We thought we'd heard some theories here. I think it had something to do with the two Iranians who were traveling with stolen passports. He speculated probably blew up the plane and somehow, anyway, it's the black guy's fault somehow. That's what I'm saying.
I get it.
Something.
Great.
Based on kind of nothing, but just probably.
Idle speculation.
We'll all come back to the black guy. Ron Paul, well, he had some thoughts on Crimea, by the way.
Oh.
He launched a scathing attack on what he calls a U.S.-backed coup in the Ukraine, insisting the Crimean people have the right to align their territory with Moscow, and characterizing sanctions against Russia as an act of war. It's almost diametrically opposed to those of his son, the weirdly haired Rand, who has called for stiff penalties against Russia and declared, if I were president, I wouldn't let Putin get away with it. Oh, of course you wouldn't, because you're like 3 feet tall, with pubic hair on top of your head. Putin would never even have thought of it.
I don't even think Rand Paul could wrestle a bear.
I don't think so either. Okay, oh, look what we missed while we were gone. What? Why does all the fun stuff happen when we're gone? There was a white man march. Piping up about white genocide, Jim, March 15th.
White genocide?
Yeah. It was supposed to be an international day of pro-white activism.
It was called the Third Reich.
Kyle Hunt's, Kyle is behind it. Mm-hmm. Kyle Hunt's White Man March is an international day for independent pro-white activism.
Hey, where are the white women at?
Well, apparently there. That's where they were. He said white people are discriminated against, mocked, displaced, and violently attacked, all of which amount to white genocide. So they had a little march. Oh, where is that little march we used to have? Didn't we have a little?
Oh.
A little, like a little cartoon march? Right. Sir, we missed this.
The master race.
Hey! Kyle!
Kyle! Reichen für das Fest.
In the Bura says, he is the master race. The higher, right in the Fuhrer's face. Not to love the Fuhrer is a great disgrace. So the higher, right in the Fuhrer's face.
All right, Kyle. Good luck.
It's actually Des Führers Gesicht, genitive case.
Oh, my God. Sorry.
Jim, who said Barack Obama is surely the first president to be...
Don't call him Shirley.
The Führer hates that.
Surely the first president to be accused of acting in foreign policy like Pollyanna, John Wayne, and Henry Kissinger all in the same month.
Wow.
Who said that?
John Wayne and Henry Kissinger.
No, Thomas Friedman in New York Times. He made a good, actually he was quoting somebody else, but he said the most important thing we could do to improve the prospects of democracy in the world is to fix our democracy at home. Hear, hear.
Mm-hmm.
The narrative of American decline and democratic dysfunction damages the luster of democracy in the world and the decisions of people to feel it is a model worth emulating. That is our power to change. If we don't reform and repair democracy in the U.S., it's going to be in trouble globally. Until we could say vi to the Koch brothers and their... all their friends, the money out of, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Have a Congress that actually works, that isn't run by obstructionist asshats.
Right.
Just saying. Julie tweeted, thank you, Julie. Thank you, Jesus. Mom is almost back. Retweet if you're sick of Democrats are doomed because stories spewing from MSNBC every other political orifice, as I am. We talked to Eric Bollard about this. LA Times' Doyle McManus wrote a piece, Are the Democrats Doomed? You know me. I don't like my happy clappiness compromised.
I know. But, you can't, if there is a danger of this, you need to be aware of it.
Of course. No, I'm not saying that, look, first of all, historically, this is what happens in these kind of midterms. The problem is turnout, like we talked about, of our base versus theirs.
Well, then how do we increase turnout?
Democrats have, that's because of me. Democrats, because I'm talking about it. Democrats have more seats at risk this year than Republicans do. Those are the basics. The stakes are enormous. If Republicans take control of the Senate and keep the House, they'll be able to pass parts of their conservative agenda that have been blocked until now. President Obama will have veto power. He will spend the last 2 years stuck on defense. And so then we talked about this Florida race. The move hasn't improved by the victory last week of the Republican in Florida. But as I've said over and over again, Doyle McManus writes, what happened? Democratic voters didn't show up.
Right.
The high decibel debate over Obamacare has had the effect of prompting conservatives to come out and vote, but not liberals. That is it in a nutshell. I hope people pay attention, people. The Affordable Care Act is an energizing issue for Republicans. It doesn't produce the same response among Democrats. And Paul Begala, I was saying, our buddy, our pal, love him, fighting Democrat. He's urged Democratic candidates to stop being apologetic about the program's flaws and go on the offensive, accusing Republicans of trying to rob voters of the law's protections.
I'm sorry I was so apologetic. Right. I'll try to do better.
Right. Cook's current projection is that Republicans are likely to gain between 4 and 6 seats in November. 6 is exactly the number they need to win a majority in the Senate. So that's why we need to get out and vote, 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 vote.
There is a lot of, you know, Republican obstruction, too.
I mean, well,
it's
right.
Not just lazy Democrats.
Yeah, but look at this. 64% of Americans say Obamacare should remain law.
Yep.
So they are on our side on the issues. We just got to get out and, you know, make sure we defend it. Huh. All right. We're all out of ghost plane stuff.
Yep.
I'm sure there'll be more tomorrow. More mindless speculation about the
cowbell.
Ghost plane. And more cowbell.
And maybe an aftershock or two.
There you go.
Whee!
There you go. I'd like to thank Chris Boy, Jim Ward, Travis on phones and drums, Natan, our Free Speech TV director. We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.